This is a special occasion in parliamentary democracy.
I gave you a lapel pin with the Australian flag on it.
You're ceasing interjecting. No, you're ceasing interjecting.
Be fair dinkum. Show your bona fides as a listener.
You've been warned twice. That's your last warning.
Time to catch up on the broader issues in federal politics. And there's a lot going on, even though it's not a sitting week. Greg Jennett is here to guide us. He's a political correspondent and presenter for ABC News. Hello.
G'day, PK. Good to be back.
So the Australian Federal Police have raided the Department of Home Affairs in their investigations over the au pair leaks. Talk us through what's actually happened here.
Yeah, so I suppose depending on the way you view these things, this is either a jackboot police state approach to finding leakers, or it's the natural conclusion of a process that would always be instigated when you get what were really quite damaging or at least embarrassing leaks directed at a minister, in this case, Peter Dutton. So what happened, PK, was a bunch of AFP officers went down to the Home Affairs Department, but really effectively the Australian Border Force headquarters, one of two buildings down on Constitution Avenue in Canberra, and they seized a cache of predominantly electronic files. They were in there for several hours, and they left with some big black Pelican cases. They looked fairly weighty, as you saw these large male officers lumbering along towards their white Commodore vans, and they drove off with them. But subsequent to that, all of the material seized under warrant, PK, is now the subject of a parliamentary privilege claim by, amongst others, Louise Pratt, the chair of the Senate Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee. So what happens in this circumstance, we've seen it before also with Stephen Conroy and some NBN documentation, it gets sealed with the consent of the clerk of the Senate here in a secure room in Parliament House, and they're going to have a political debate, PK, I assume as early as next week, about what the legal status of that documentation is.
It's pretty fascinating. How has Minister Dutton responded to the raids taking place today?
Look, he hasn't had too much to say. He's really been utterly consistent since all of this blew up immediately after his unsuccessful challenge to Malcolm Turnbull, completely and utterly denying any wrongdoing in his decision-making on any of the au pair visa cases. But I guess the highest profile of the two that gained most notoriety was the Adelaide or McLaughlin connection case, which most people, I think, PK, would be fairly familiar with. So as recently as yesterday, Peter Dutton was saying he has nothing to answer for here. And I suppose it is the natural conclusion in some ways of something that Mike Pezzullo, the Secretary of the Home Affairs Department, told a specially constituted Senate inquiry only last month was obligatory. He has to, he says, when material leaks occur, refer it to police investigation because it could be a breach of the criminal law just around, you know, protected Commonwealth documentation. So he also said, by the way, PK, at the time that he made those remarks about he was referring it because he had to, he also hinted, I think, that they had a fair idea what the hall of documents was and perhaps where they'd come from, because he said all our systems are networked, document transmission is traced right down to the level of, you know, who printed it out, down to the level of who might have emailed files to external email accounts outside the Home Affairs or Border Force account system. So you would have to think that with good forensic IT investigation, they may well get to the bottom of what happened here. And then that opens a whole nother hornet's nest, doesn't it, about, you know, protection of whistleblowers, the way they interact with politicians and with parliamentary processes, in this case, Senate inquiry. So I think it'll drag on for a bit before we hear the last of this one.
And another story that's broken literally just before we went on air, Malcolm Turnbull's son, Alex Turnbull, has recorded a message on Facebook calling on voters in his own father's recently vacated seat to vote against the Liberal Party in the Saturday, well, it's in a week, the by-election. Here he is.
Don't vote for the Liberal Party in the Wentworth by-election. If you want to pull the Liberal Party back from the brink, it's the one clear signal you can send. Consider an intervention for Australia, for the party, and for Wentworth. This time, don't give the Liberals your vote.
Consider it an intervention. What do you make of it?
Well, he more than anyone in the family has been most strident, and you would have to think at least equally wounded by the events of late August. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull himself has said some pointed things, but even before he and Lucy went to New York City, Alex had some things to say to the media as he was helping them off on their way at the time. So, look, there's obviously pain there. It's timed in that window where so many Wentworth voters will be exercising their right, I suppose, to pre-poll votes. So many are already going to the ballot boxes. But then the question, PK, is what weight does it carry? Well, obviously, there is respect for Malcolm Turnbull within that former electorate of his. We know that because he built up a 17% margin. But, you know, how influential, how factored in would be the views of his son, Alex, and whose vote might be swayed by him? I tend to think that it's probably at the margins. I mean, those who have a sympathy vote for Malcolm Turnbull might exercise a protest vote in some way or another. Invariably, depending which way they go, a lot of it will flow back to the Liberal Party anyway, I think, if you look at the matrix of candidates that are lining up there. So finishing order is obviously important with this preferencing. But yeah, look, I think it's probably at the margins, but it's more nuisance value for Dave Sharma.
Yeah. Well, it's not helpful, but I reckon you're right on that it is pretty much at the margins, but not helpful when they need to win and, well, they want to win and, you know, one seat majority and all of that. All right. Tax cuts. Scott Morrison has made this pitch to fast track tax cuts for small and medium-sized businesses. Labor isn't saying what they'll do, really, whether they'll support it or not. That's going to be pretty important, isn't it? Because it seems to me that the government wants to fight on this at the election.
Absolutely. I find it really fascinating because it could be a bit of rope-a-dope we're seeing here from Bill Shorten. What if, because he's keeping all options wide open, clearly, what if it was a complete, meek and utterly unremarkable fall into line by Labor, even to the point where they truncate debate on the thing. So bipartisan is their support for this that the thing sails through Parliament, you know, in 2 to 3 hours, and then up to the Senate, where it's similarly pushed through on the voices. You know, I think a lot of
they'd
this
be tempted.
PK, well, yeah, I think a lot of this is predicated on the blue. And what if you didn't have that blue? It rather robs the impact of the whole exercise, I think. So that's one observation. And who knows which way Labor's tactical brains will fall on this. But it was very noteworthy that Bill Shorten did not come out and castigate this. I mean, they raised a few questions, as did Chris Bowen, about the affordability and how you'd pay for it. The answer to that one, by the way, just appears to be that the old budget must be awash with revenue right now.
It was really obvious, wasn't it? Matthias Cormann pretty much implied it.
Yep, $3 billion. If you can easily slide that to the left, as they say, bring it forward, and it suits you electorally, or at least you perceive it to suit you electorally, then why wouldn't you do it? All the more so if you think you can get some sharpened emphasis between your economic policy and Bill Shorten's on the way through. I'm just not sure, though, PK, on that latter point, that they're going to get that sharpened point of difference, because Labor might just pull a tactical swifty here and go, okay, you want it? You got it? Let's judge you at MIFO budget reconciliation time at the end of the year.
I reckon you are spot on. I reckon I'm with you. We're one on this. Greg Jennett, you've been an excellent guest. Thanks for coming on.
No worries, PK. Good to talk to you again.
Greg Jennett is political correspondent and presenter for ABC News. And we've got a text of someone who's concerned that we haven't covered the MSF Doctors Without Borders who've been kicked out of Nauru. Well, we will be covering it. So no conspiracy theories here. We're covering it after 7. So the news is on at 7 right after. We will be covering this story. In fact, we'll be speaking to a psychiatrist who worked on Nauru for a lot of the last year. So we will be talking to somebody about that very issue. This is RN Drive.